The sermon you are about to listen to is a Stream Globe Word Encounter sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can contact us by visiting our website www.streamglobe.org.
It say, he that speaketh the truth. Brethren, I've just described the point of abiding in the Lord and being fruitful. And the Holy Spirit just impressed upon my heart to talk about this matter of lying. Please, put away lying. One of the things that the Holy Spirit used to help me to understand that lying is not good was how I understood that if I use my tongue to lie, that same tongue will not carry the authority it should carry in the kingdom of God. As I said, how will you know that you are abiding in Him and He in you? Check the fruits in your life. Check the fruits in your life. A time will come when you'll be wondering, is this me that this person did this and went free? Ha! If it is before, I know how I would have dealt with this person. That is a sign that you are fruitful, you are growing. And that is a sign that you can now discern the will of God. That is a sign that you can discern the will of God. And when you can discern the will of God, your faith can be powerful, because your faith is powerful only when it is in the direction of God's will. God will not do what He does not want to do. There are times that you can pray because those things are not so, they don't have so much impact in the spirit realm. God can do something that was not in His perfect will, but there are some things that God will never do because they are not His will. I gave you the example of the Israelites in the wilderness. They were asking for quail. It's not as if God didn't plan to give them quail, but the timing and the manner in which they wanted it was out of a bad spirit. And when they received it, leanness was sent to their souls. So it says that you didn't choose me, I chose you so that you will be fruitful, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, it will be done. You know why? Because whatever they ask, they know the will of God. They don't ask God to do what they know that God will not do, because it is not His will. Another way, how do you know the will of God? The word of God is the most powerful tool to help you to discern the will of God. The promises of God are His will concerning you. Most of the promises of God are based on some conditions. And if you are a child of God, if you are in Christ, the Bible says in Christ, the promises of God are yea and amen. See, if an unbeliever, a person who is not a believer, honors his father and his mother, it does not guarantee that all will be well with him. It does not guarantee that he will live long and see good days. Even though that is a promise of God. But the promises of God are only yes in Christ Jesus. For the Jew, it was their inheritance. Because they were being sanctified by the law, their heritage and all of that. But for us, in Christ Jesus today, not some, because there are some of the, there were some of the promises of God that the Jew couldn't say, couldn't appropriate. Because they just could not. For example, the promise of the Holy Spirit is not to the Jew, it's to the believer. It's one of the greatest promises that there is in Scripture. The Jew cannot appropriate it just because it's a Jew. But in Christ Jesus, all of the promises of God are yea and amen. But the promises of God, many of them are predicated on conditions. And whenever you see promises of God that are predicated on conditions, those promises are beginning to border on covenants. When you do your part, God is bound to do His part. But the underlining framework for all of this is that you must be a believer. So for example, there is a promise of God that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue risen up against you in judgment you shall condemn. If you are a child of God, you can claim that promise, but there is a condition. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of God. So, when it becomes clear to you that people are sending curses, maybe somebody is cursing you, they are calling your name in dark places, you know, that is what it means, tongue risen up against you in judgment. or becomes clear to you that there are weapons that are being forged against you in darkness. And you are praying against it. You know that it is God's will because it's the promise of God. You know it is something that God wants to do for you because it is a promise. The next question you will ask yourself is, am I serving God? Am I a servant of God? Are there things in my life that I'm doing, and the only reason I'm doing those things is because God said I should do them? It's because I am serving this my Father that I love. If the answer to that question is yes, then you know that concerning that prayer, it is absolutely the will of God. No weapon, not one, will prosper against you. Hallelujah. He says, thou anointed my head with oil. See, for those of us that are ministers, we cannot survive without the anointing. We cannot survive without. I would not be able to be preached. I would have ended this broadcast if the anointing didn't come. Because it wasn't easy when I started. But one of the promises we have is that we are anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. See, the devil can stop a man that is not anointed. But when the anointing comes, the devil does not have an answer to that. What is the criteria for walking in the anointing? Because there are many people that want to serve God and they envy people that walk in there. They say, you pray for the sick, they were healed. You pray that the power of God moved. There is a criteria. You must appropriate it by faith. Remember, one of the ways you appropriate faith, you activate faith, is by speaking the word. But there is a criteria. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You know what that means? Let me tell you one thing about sheep and shepherd. If you see sheep that is not a stray sheep in Oshogbo, it is because the shepherd wants them to go there. They only go where their shepherd wants them to go. Sheep don't have a will of their own in that sense. For you to walk in the anointing, one of the most important criteria is that Jesus calls the shots in your life. If we say that you have moved from Nigeria to Ghana, you have moved from Nigeria to London, it is because Jesus Christ was the one that sanctioned that decision. He was the one that authorized that movement. He was the one that said, I now want you to move. We see that all of a sudden you are doing poultry farm. It's because Jesus Christ said, I want you to do this business. Opportunities can present themselves before you, but you check and say, no, Jesus does not want me to do it. That is the criteria for walking in the anointing. That Jesus is now your Lord. He's your shepherd. It's not just those that say, Lord, Lord, but those that do the will of our Father in heaven. Is your life ruled by the will of God? Is your life ruled and regulated by the will of God? If the answer to that question is yes, then you have the right to walk in the anointing. Oh, that anointing is a yoke-shattering anointing. It's a demon-casting anointing. It's a curse-terminating anointing. It's a disease-expelling anointing. I have no doubt that some of you listening will feel the touch of God even through this broadcast, because I know that there is an anointing upon my life. I'm boasting in the Lord. And why do I know this? Because I know that I believe in Jesus. And that promise is yea. And I know that I am a servant. Yea, I am a slave of Jesus. Faith must always flow in the direction of God's will. If not, it is not faith. It is presumption. If you are writing, you can write this down. Faith must always flow in the direction of God's will. If not, it is not faith. It is presumption. So what we take, we give you that assurance, that unmovable assurance concerning what you hope for. It is when you are convinced beyond reasonable doubt that that thing is God's will. I'm not even talking about general will. It's God's specific will for you at that time. There is a difference between the timing of God and the will. God may will something for you The difference may be the timing. The timing. If you don't know how to discern the timing of God, you will produce an Ishmael. There are some things that some of us are asking God for, and God is saying, don't worry, it's not yet time. And because you are abiding in the Lord and you have a healthy relationship and fellowship with the Lord, you can discern that even though it is the will of God, you can discern that it is not yet time. And so you will not act in presumption. And because you can discern that it is not yet time, you can walk accurately with God. And when the time comes, you will receive what has been promised. Have you ever seen a fruit on a tree? Mango, for example. When it is not yet ripe and you try to cut it, you shake the tree, the branch may cut and fall, the fruit will not drop. You stone the fruit, sometimes it will wound the fruit will not drop. But when it is time, when the fruit is ripe, just shake the tree and it will drop. Many people have wounded their fruit because they wanted to harvest it when it was not time. One thing that is, faith is powerful. Faith is superior to many things. Faith can change situations, can alter the course of people's destinies. But one thing is superior to faith, it is the will of God. And in the will of God is the timing of God. God will help us not just to be His children, but to be wise children. One of the major ingredients of wisdom is understanding timing and making good use of your time. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We are looking at the nature of faith. I'll read that verse 1 again, because I love the way New English Translation renders it. It says, after now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being convinced of what we do not see. We do not see it yet, but we are sure. And if we are sure, it will affect the things we do. Are you really sure that your citizenship is in heaven? Are you really sure that when the Lord returns, you will be transformed and you will rule and reign with Him on the earth for 1,000 years? Because if you are truly sure, it will affect the way you live your life. It will affect how you invest your time. A, you will invest your time more on the kingdom of God. You will lay your treasure in heaven because you understand that your inheritance is there. Our time on earth, when you put it side by side, our lifespan, our eternal lifespan, is less than 1 second. Do you really believe these things? Because if you believe these things, it will affect the choice, your daily choices. It will affect the decisions you make, the big ones and the small decisions. It will affect the jobs you will take, even if they are offering to pay you a lot of money. Brethren, God loves us more than we can imagine. How do we know? By the things that God has done. The sacrifice that God was willing to make. One of my favorite songs says, now behold the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God, born into sin that I may live again. A verse of the song says, why you love me so, Lord, I may never know. Really? Really? I think it's just the nature of God to love. His love. His love. The way you know that God loves you, God loves you and He wants to help you more than you want to be helped. Somebody is listening and saying, then why is God not, if God truly wants to help me more than I want to be helped, why has God not helped me since? I wish I could just give you a one phrase answer to that question. Some of those questions that are that profound requires an explanation for you to understand. There are many things that God wants to do for you that God cannot do for you because you are not yet ready. When a 7-year-old boy is crying to his dad every day that he wants a motorbike, he wants a motorcycle as Christmas present, he knows his father has the money to even buy him a car, and his father says no. At his age, he may not be able to understand why his father says no. The problem is that there are some people spiritually. See, the truth is that by the time he gets mature, his father will not only want to buy him a motorbike, his father wants to buy him a car. So it's not a question of love. It's a question of timing. It's a question of maturity. Unfortunately, there are many believers today, they have refused to grow beyond 7 years old spiritually. And everything that God gives you, every glory that God pours upon you, has a measure of weight, has a measure of responsibility attached to it. In fact, the word kabod, glory in Hebrew, depicts weight. And that's why you see that phrase, weight of glory, in scripture. And so you don't put a heavy weight on a child. And there are many things that people are asking for, and God looks at them and says, you don't understand that the reason why you can't get this now is because you don't have the capacity to handle it. Some people are praying to God for great riches, and God wants them to be rich more than they want to be rich. But God knows that as soon as these riches enter their hands, they will become conceited. They become proud. They will no longer, their faith will evaporate, and they will become citizens of hell. And God in his love says no. No. There are some things that if you give a child to carry, you want to kill that child. God says, no, I can't give him this now. And that's one reason why many times people are asking for things that they think they need. And God is saying, build your spiritual capacity first. And as your spiritual capacity is built, you are able to receive all of these things. You see, that's why he says that whatsoever you ask the Father, he may give you. You know why? Because when you get to the point where you are fruitful, it's a sign that your spiritual capacity has been built. And then there are things that you'll be asking God for that God can give to you. It's not because God didn't always want to give them to you, but you were not yet ready. And then also, you can also ask according to the will of God. And things that are not God's will, you will not ask him to do them for you. Let's continue to read about faith. Verse 2 says, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says, for by faith the people of old received God's commendation. Why did they receive God's commendation? It was because of faith. It was because of faith. It is by faith that we get to receive God's commendation. Anyone that does not believe, anyone that does not have faith, will not be commended, will not hear welcome, good and faithful servant. What does this mean? Remember, I just talked about how that lying is a hindrance to faith, and a man that has faith in God will be a person of integrity. Okay, I'm adding that now. A man that has faith in God will be a person of integrity. There are many things that faith will produce in your life, and faith actually produces righteousness. If it is faith in God, though, at the end of the day, it will crystallize righteousness in your heart. That's just how faith works. When you truly believe in God, and you expect, and you are assured that the things that God has said will come to pass, if you truly believe in God concerning the promises of eternal life, the promises of the resurrection, the promises of inheriting his kingdom, if you truly believe, it will affect the way you live. We don't have to sermonize and give you rules about holiness and what to wear and all of that. If you truly believe that your citizenship is in heaven, you truly believe that when Jesus Christ appears, you will be like him, it will affect your conduct. It will. And that effect it is having on your conduct is a product of faith. I think it's 1 John that talks about when the Lord appears, we'll see him as he is. Talk about so that we should not be ashamed. Therefore, what manner of lives ought we to live? If you know that you are going to appear before the Lord and you will give an account of your life, including the words you say, he will watch the words you say. And that believing is faith. And watching the words you say is a proof of faith. Because it shows that you are truly assured of those things that you hope for. And that's why it is affecting your everyday life. So faith crystallizes righteousness in the heart of the believer. Why do you think Abraham was obedient to God? Because he believed in God. He was sure that God existed. You know, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Alright, we're going to read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, and then we'll go back to what we are saying. After God spoke long ago in various portions and in various ways to our ancestors through the prophets, in these last days, he has spoken to us in a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he created the world. The Son is the radiance of his glory and the representation of his essence, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. And so when he had accomplished cleansing of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Thus, he became so far better than the angels, as he has inherited a name superior to theirs. Now you see that, well, the book of Hebrews is actually a book that talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, the superiority of Christ, because it was written to the Hebrews. Hebrews are the Jewish people, the people from Israel. And they needed to see how that Christ was superior to the law. And actually started by talking about angels. The Jews believed a lot in the angelic. They know the power of angels. And he started by saying that Jesus is superior to the angels. Then he talked about how Jesus was superior to Moses. And Jesus was superior to the blood of Jesus was superior to even to the blood of Abel. You know, basically that book is talking about the superiority of Christ. Now, why then are we talking about faith? You notice that, okay, so let's just do a quick exegesis. Notice that Hebrews chapter 7 is talking about the priesthood of Jesus, how it is superior to the priesthood of Aaron. And it talks about how that Jesus Christ is a priest, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. And he's talking about a priesthood that is based on an unending life. And we'll talk, chapter 8 talks about how he's the high priest of a better covenant. And that the covenant that, you know, you can't talk about priesthood without talking about covenants, attendant covenants. And how that the covenant of Christ is superior to the covenant of the law. You know, he's talking to the Hebrews, the Hebrews, the people of the law. And then he's talking about how that the sanctuary of Jesus is superior to the sanctuary of the Jews. And how that Christ's own service is not in an earthly sanctuary of wood and, you know, physical thing, is in an heavenly sanctuary. You can read Hebrews chapter 9 verse 11. Talked about how that the sacrifice of Jesus is superior to the sacrifice of bulls and rams. Of course, we know that a human being is superior to any animal. And Jesus is not just an ordinary human being. And his own sacrifice was a once and for all sacrifice. Now, see, I'm doing all of this. We are heading up to why we are talking about faith. And then it's now talking about, after he has talked about the superiority and all of this, he's now talking about drawing near to God in enduring faith. Let me just read Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. You see, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, remember, it's the superior sacrifice, by the flesh and living way that he inaugurated for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in assurance that faith brings, because we have had our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold unwaveringly to the hope that we confess, for the one who made the promise is trustworthy. And let us take thought of how to spur one another to love and to good works, not abandoning Christian fellowship. Now, it is, after all of this is said, that he now says, okay, what is this faith? You see, there's something that is common. There's a thread that runs from the Old Testament to the New Testament. There's a thread that runs from Moses to Aaron to the fathers of old to us. What is that thread? It is faith. Whether under the old covenant or under the new covenant, there is one connecting line to God, and that connecting line is faith. Why was Abraham declared righteous? The Bible says Abraham had faith. He believed in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was because of his faith. Why will you be declared righteous in the new covenant? It is because of faith. Why did Abraham please God? It was because of faith. Why are you going to please God? It's because of your faith. But why Abraham's faith connected him with a covenant? Your faith connects you to a better covenant with better promises. Why the faith of the brethren of old, the people of Israel of old, connected them to the promises of God, and they could appropriate some of the promises of God? Your faith under this new covenant connects you to all of the promises of God. And in Christ Jesus, not some of the promises, but all of God's promises are yea and amen for you. Faith is a constant in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Faith is a constant. Faith is a constant. But I need you to realize, child of God, that the faith you have in the new covenant connects you to better promises and a better covenant. The faith you have connects you to the fullness of God. The Bible says that we, along with all the saints, might understand the love of God that is beyond comprehension. That we may know the breadth and the depth and the width of that love, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Do you know why we can know the love of God more than the Jews, more than Abraham could know the love of God? Because we know the sacrifice of God that they don't know. Love is manifested by sacrifice. And God demonstrated his love for us in this way, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because of that sacrifice of Christ, we have a revelation of the love of God that is superior. And this revelation is in the environment, is a function of faith. This revelation of the love of God that we have is superior to the revelation of the love of God that the saints of old had. And the higher the revelation of the love of God a person has, the more that person can be filled with the presence of God. And that's why Ephesians chapter 3 says that having an understanding of this revelation will help us to be filled with the fullness of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about how we have these great and exceeding promises, that by them we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have the privilege of partaking of the divine nature. How? Because of the promises. Why? For us, all the promises are ye. We get to appropriate not some, but all of the promises. And the purpose of these promises is to crystallize in man the divine nature. Hallelujah. This broadcast are supposed to last for 1 hour, so we are going to be bringing this to a close. The faith you have is constant. The reason why people of old are going to be saved is because they have faith. The reason why you are going to be saved is because you have faith. But what are you doing with your faith? The privilege we have that they don't have is that this faith connects us to a better covenant. It connects us to a higher life. Your life can demonstrate the presence of God and the nature of God more than the life of a saint of old, because you are in a better covenant with better promises. What am I saying? If the saints of old could not overcome the devil in certain areas, you should. Why? Because you have a faith that connects you to higher voltage. Now, let's just use this illustration. Think about electric wires, a copper wire, things like that, connecting you to electricity. You can use copper wire to connect to a certain kind of voltage. And then you can use copper wire, let's say you use copper wire to connect to a voltage, and the whole of that, the power rating of that connection is maybe 20 watts. You can take that same copper wire and connect to a power source that is 200,000 watts. Next week, we're going to look at how God upgraded the faith of the believer in Christ Jesus. Because the book of Jude was written. It says, he writes that we should contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. The way our faith in the new covenant operates, the operation of our faith is different from the operation of the faith in the old covenant. And we are going to look at that next week, God helping us. Now, let's just take a summary of what we have studied. We've seen that faith is so important and so powerful for us as people of God. And faith will always flow in the direction of God's will. And in order for us to walk in God's will, know God's will, we must abide in the Lord. We saw what it means to abide in the Lord. It means to remain. To remain. Don't go back to the world. Don't run away. Remain in the Lord. And when this happens, and the word of God abides in you richly, then you can be a fruitful believer. When you are a fruitful believer, it is proof that you are abiding in the Lord, and that you can now discern his will and pray according to his will. And then, whatsoever you ask the Father, in Jesus' name, will be given to you. We went on to a little bit more complex matters, looking at the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking at the faith that we have, how that it connects us to better promises and a better covenant. And because of this faith, we can have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, we saw why the book of Hebrews was written and how it ended on the note of talking about faith. Because one thing we have in common, saints of old and saints of today, is that we have faith. The only way we connect with God is by faith. And we see that faith is not just an expectation or a hope or a desire or a knowing in your mind. Faith is an assurance, and it will affect your action. If you know and you are sure that it will rain tomorrow, you get an umbrella. You prepare for the rain. And that is what faith is. Faith is knowing. It is a knowing. I want us to begin to pray that, Lord, I want to be a person of great faith so that I walk in your great power. I've been given access to something that the saints of old wished to experience, but they couldn't because of timing. Remember, we talked about timing. One thing about the will of God is that in it includes the timing of God. We say that the difference between walking in faith and walking in presumption is the will of God. If you are believing something that is not the will of God, that's presumption. And even if you are believing something that is the will of God and it is not the timing of God, you'll be walking in presumption. We're going to pray, Lord, deliver me from presumptuous sins. Help me to walk in faith and help me to grow in faith. Deliver me from sins. The biggest hindrance to faith is iniquity. Lord, help me. Strengthen me by your spirit with might in inner man. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bind every spirit that hinders the flow of grace. We bind every spirit that hinders the understanding of God's word. And we decree that we will grow in the knowledge of truth. And our lives will be more fruitful. We will represent Christ everywhere we find ourselves. And his name alone will be glorified. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. We bless your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you so much for following the live broadcast. The sermon will be made available sometime later. I hope that by today, by the end of today, we'll be able to share one of our Word Encounter sermons on the Stream Globe Network. So look out for that sermon. It will greatly bless you. Father, we thank you for this broadcast. I ask, Lord, that your power will flow to your people who are following. Meet us at the points of our need. You know what we need, even more than we know. Lord, help us. Help us. Let those that need healing be healed. Let those that need deliverance be delivered. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.